Well, imagine if you could see people the way that God sees people. Imagine that you could see the potential of each individual as God sees them. We are to work on that vantage point. This morning, may our hearts fully take in what the Lord would have us to do, how we need to change, and peel the scales off of our eyes that we might get a glimpse of what God sees and what He commands. The text is James. Wow, I never caught that. As many times as I've been over that. Well, it should be James 4:11 through 12. Just two verses, but boy, are they packed. Actually scared me. I'm like, oh my word, I only have two verses. That means the Lord's really going to hit me hard on this one. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? The next slide, we're going to see many different images. Look at these, and then we're going to answer some questions together in our hearts. What thoughts crossed your mind? What judgments did you make about these people who you do not know? What motives did you attribute to them? With whom would you be uncomfortable? Were there any particular individuals that you would not readily invite in your home or stop to give them a blessing? This morning, will you entertain the idea that every one of us is judgmental? You know, I've been asking the Lord to show me the different areas where I'm judgmental. And I was so struck, even this weekend, I had the privilege of keeping my 3-year-old and 2-year-old grandson that have more energy and are just wild men. I think it's a genetic problem combining the Chandler and the Anderson families, but Creighton just learned how to ride his bike, and so we spent a lot of time on our street riding his bike. And as we were riding our bike one time, there was two preteen girls, and they were sitting on like one of those transformers or something right next to my next door neighbor, who happens to be two boys that live there. And immediately I thought, predators. Yep, those two girls are hanging out there because of those two boys that live there and everything. And I walked up and I talked to them, and they were really polite. They were trying to get the mud off of their boots that they had been walking. And they were so sweet. I asked them, the next day was Valentine's. I said, well, y'all got some Valentine's plans at school. And the one even, the older one even said, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at you directly while I'm talking, but I'm trying to clean the mud off my shoe. And it just really struck me how so quickly I looked and made a judgment. And such shame that I would do such. You know, I looked at their blue nail polish and their attire, and I just like summed up. And I was thankful for the Lord to show me the very sin in my own heart. The question is, what will we do about the judgments that we make, the sinful judgments? This morning, the outline, and you have this on your handout, this is where we're going this morning. The first important thing is to recognize our sinful judgment. And then the next necessary protocol would be our confession of sin, our mourning over our sin, and then to replace sinful judgment with love. And then very briefly, I want to touch on putting off sinful judgment and putting on wise discernment, for there is a difference. Now, all the verses that I'm going to be referring to this morning are on your handout, so if you want them, you won't have to jot them down. what does God have to say about judgmentalism? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment, John 7:24 says. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Matthew 5:22. Do you see the seriousness of slander from God's perspective? How often do we judge by appearance? God tells us not to make an assessment in our mind about a person merely based on looks. I had the privilege of working for the youth for 7 years before I came into the women's ministry, and I was thankful for Rocky's admonition to tell us as leaders, you know, a short skirt is not indicative of an unredeemed heart. It was a good reminder. How many of us have been angry? If we're honest, all of our hands should go up. And yet, what is God's punishment for such sin? The fiery hell. Surely this should bring us to a contrite and humble heart, knowing that we truly are not better than any other of God's creative beings. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Matthew 7:2. How do you want to be judged? Do you want a God of second and third and multiple chances for yourself, but a God of vengeance for those who hurt you or those that you've already judged in your mind? Do you want a God of love for yourself, one who is slow to anger, but a God of wrath, an all-consuming fire for those who have caused you, or, forbid it, one of your children, pain? No matter how convinced you are in your own mind that you know the motives of someone's heart, God tells us that that is not true, that only He can see the heart, and only He can know the motives of a person. The question is, will you believe God or stand firm that you know better? This is one way where self-talk comes in to help. Think something like this. Lord, I want to attribute motives to this person. My experience with this person is such and such. Yet, you tell me only you know the motives of a person's heart. Please help me to think the best of each person. I know to judge motives is wrong and sinful judging. Please forgive me and help me to do it no longer. Please note, sisters in Christ, I am not suggesting to not be discerning, which we will address later briefly, but rather not to enter into sinful judging. There is a difference. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans 14:10. We need to confess our sins once we have recognized judgmental sin in our hearts. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Confessing our sins is agreeing with God about our sins. If we love God, listen carefully, ladies. If we love God, we will love people. Even the unlovely ones, especially the unlovely ones. Jesus was our perfect role model for this. How did He treat the adulterous woman? how did he treat the immoral woman, the Samaritan woman? He responded with love and forgiveness, and so should we. Listen, ladies, we do not forgive someone because they are worthy to be forgiven. We don't even forgive someone because they've asked to be forgiven. They may never ask to be forgiven. If we only forgive when someone is worthy, then woe be to us, for we are not worthy. We forgive because God forgives us and commands us to love and forgive. We are to put off sinful judging and to put on love. We are not to merely tolerate our enemies. We are to pray for our enemies. With it, and when they say with it, we're talking about the tongue. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men. With our tongue, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. That's the problem right there, ladies. Each person, no matter how horrible we may think they are made in God's image. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. We are to pray for our enemies, not merely tolerate our enemies. I know of no better way to effect change in your own heart than to truly pray for your enemy. This is not done because we feel like it. If we wait till we feel like it, it's probably never going to happen. We do it because God commands us to do it, and it is good and right before the eyes of our Lord. And we don't merely pray for them to quit persecuting us or hurting us. We pray for them. We pray for their walk with the Lord if they're a believer. We pray for their salvation if they're not, that the Lord will be merciful to them. We should not desire vengeance for them. We should think of the fiery hell and not want that on anyone. We should show truly the love of Christ because we indeed are to respond differently than those of the world. That is how they know we are Christians. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Psalm 51:4 says, against you, you only I have sinned. Now, I want to remind you what this is. This is when David is confessing his sin to the Lord. This is after David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery with Bathsheba and tried to cover his sin up, and it didn't work. So he had Bathsheba's husband, his good friend Uriah, killed. Then he took Bathsheba as his own wife because she had conceived a child. And that child died again as a result of David's sin. We are talking about a period of about a year. And David still did not confess or recognize his sin. It was not until Nathan came to David and said and confronted David with his sin. And then what is David's response? Against you, Lord. Against you only I have sinned. Does this shock you? It did me. When I first read that, I was like, seriously? What about Bathsheba? What about Uriah? What about the baby that died? But you see, David has it right. And so should we. He realizes that it is against God that he has sinned. And every time, ladies, we sin against a person, it is against God. We need to keep this perspective. It's between you and God. We are to mourn over our sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. I can't tell you how many times I used to write that on sympathy cards. I just did a sympathy card this morning, misunderstanding this verse. This verse is not talking about mourning over someone who has passed away or other trials in our life. It's talking about mourning over our sin. Is that your reaction? Do you weep over your sin? Do you linger over telling your Lord how deeply grieved you are over transgressing his perfect law? Or as a quick, "Forgive me, Lord, I have sinned," good enough for you? Lord, help us to mourn. Truly mourn over our sin. Help us not to send up a mere "I'm sorry," but to take time to truly do a 180 and turn and repent. Turning away from our sin with a great desire to not repeat it again. Remember, who alone can judge? Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Stop passing judgment. Only God knows the motives of the heart. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Psalm 75:7. God is the only rightful judge, and he is the only one that is 100% pure in his judgment and 100% just. To put down someone is to exalt yourself. Only God is allowed to do that. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Romans 11:33. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." John 9:39. God's judgments are beyond our comprehension. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, which is why we do not need to question his way. He is the creator, and we are the creature. He is the potter, and we are the pot. It would be as if we were a clay pot saying, "You know, I really don't think you should turn me into a bowl. I really think a teacup would be better." How ridiculous. And yet that is what we do when we question God. How dare to think that we know better than God. Why do we judge? I want to review the author's list here and want to add one. Perhaps you can add some more yourself, but add one that I've struggled with. The first one she mentioned was revenge. That's pretty straightforward. We're hurt. We want someone else to hurt too. We want someone to hurt back. You see it all the time, right? I have a 3-year-old and 2-year-old grandsons. I mean, one knocks one upside the head. I mean, what's the natural reaction? Knock the other one upside the head, right? We just do it more sophisticated when we're older. The pride of self-righteousness was the second one she listed. also pretty straightforward. We are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We are not to think of ourselves more highly than another. You see this. Those that are married, you know, if you, much of your conflict with your husband is that you think you are putting your ways, what you desire, ahead of what your husband wants. Too much idle talk. God tells us where there are many words, there will be transgression. We need to be careful. And the fourth one that I wanted to add was to elevate ourselves, because I've struggled with that before. I find when I have erred in slander or gossip, I have had the wicked desire to look better in someone's eyes. Such shame. It matters not whether the statement is true or not. Such justification we can come up with when we're slandering. Are we edifying? If not, then we need to shut our mouths. Well, how do we stop? First of all, self-talk. We need to stop the revolving door of going over and over in our mind sinful thoughts. Instead, we need to think biblically. Memorization. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." You see, when we sin, it's always a choice. If you are a believer, then you have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can never say that we fell into sin, or, you know, that the other things that we might try to say about it. It's a choice. Because God tells us He will always give us a way of escape so that we don't sin. It is good to memorize this verse and other verses that would specifically apply to the things that you're struggling with. And then accountability. Make yourself transparent to a mature believer. Tell her what you are struggling with and have her hold you accountable. She should pray with you and ask you how you are doing. And then you in turn need to become the mature believer to do the same. We are to put off sinful judgment and to put on discernment. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5:13-14. There is a difference between sinful judging, which the Lord tells us to put off, and discernment, which the Lord commands. I find that people seem to err from one extreme to another. Either we are self-righteous and we feel like we have the right to judge, or we're so appalled by people judging that we dare not be discerning. Both are wrong. If we are to grow spiritually, walk in holiness, we must be discerning. We are to discern biblically whether someone is a believer, to try to discern that. Otherwise, we might abandon our responsibility to share the gospel. I've seen people who just want to say everyone is probably a believer so that they do not have to evangelize. Be careful you don't use that as an excuse. We must rightly judge all influences that affect our lives and our children. We must be able to discern against false teaching or doctrines that do not line up with God's Word. If we are teaching God's Word, we must be discerning and accurately handle the Word of Truth. What influences you? TV, movies, what you read, what you hear. We must be on the alert at all times. We must pray for discernment. To the degree we pray, we depend upon the Lord. Did you hear that? To the degree we pray, we depend upon the Lord. If we pray little, we are in essence saying, I got this, Lord. I'm really doing pretty good. I'm pretty smart. May it never be. To the degree we pray, we depend upon the Lord. Pray a little or never, we are saying we don't need the Lord. Pray a lot, fervently, is a recognition of our desperate need of the Lord in every day and in every situation. There is no situation in which I can be trusted to do without God's help. No, not one. Praying and studying increases our discernment. Are we thinking rightly? Put it through the grid of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We are not to be like children, following what someone says this day, believing a different idea another day. Study the scriptures, know what God's word says, and be able to speak the truth in love. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up, ladies, in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:14 through 15. God is judge, the author and the administrator of the law, both the judicial and the executive. He is both. God is king. God alone is the one savior from the condemnation of the law. We know this, but do we live our lives showing that we know this? Only God is the rightful judge. Do you spend time wasting it in sinful judging? Concerning yourself, looking at others. And one thing that has helped me with this is to realize that I myself am a full-time job. If I am working on my own holiness, my own sin, then, quite frankly, I do not have time to work on or think about anyone else's. God already has the position of judge, and amazingly, He doesn't need my help, nor yours. If God is the only one who can save us from the condemnation of the law, then I am quite confident He doesn't need my second guessing on how He is judging. I can rest in His perfect sovereignty, His kingship. Are you resting in His kingship today? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Do you want to grow spiritually? A humble attitude and just actions are essential for spiritual growth. Take the time now to purge any toxic, judgmental thoughts or actions. We're going to end this morning, do something a little different. I'm just going to let us spend a few minutes silently to reflect and pray. I think we don't slow down enough in our culture. Take time and ask the Lord to search your heart and see if there's any hurtful way in you. And I'll close this in just a few minutes. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your perfect righteousness, that you forgive us over and over. Lord, when we are not judgmental, we are free to love with your love. Lord, would you help us to slow down and truly look at our own lives and our own sin. And may we not just slough it under the bed or just table it, but to address it. We love you, Lord. We praise you. May you be glorified in our lives. Amen.